everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration, but that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song beside a garden wall. When stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale, a paradise where roses bloom. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will remain, my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
Stardust, indeed. Nat King Cole, bless his heart. Right, let me just get my little show thing that says Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio so that you can see it in the player. There we go. Okay, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, depending on your rotational vector in this spinning sphere we call home. Well, the surface of which we call home, the rest, you know, the bit on the inside, we don't really know what's going on in there, and we don't call that home, it's still alien. So, we are bombarded with stardust. We are stardust. And as we were talking in the, Walt and Nancy were speaking last hour or two about Shungite, well, I'd just like to add a couple of David Wilcock data points here. One of them is that when they measured material that was being ejected from stars, they discovered that there was, they said it was 70% empty space. And that was quite interesting. And then later on, there was another data point that arrived, which was that when you freeze dry bacteria, you know, microbiology, so that, you know, that here's the what would they be, some branch of astrophysics that uses spectrography and, you know, velocities and all sorts of clever little things to calculate what is being ejected from stars, because stars and galaxies, they eject all the time, you know, things are ejecting, we eject all the time. It's like we have stuff coming out of our mouths and, you know, stuff coming out the other ends, and we're continually producing ejectamenta, so does every creature. That's part of what life is life, being able to produce, to consume and eject. So when you look at what is stardust, and as Walt was saying, another data point was that it was carbon that was coming out of these things. So when you put the idea that bacteria, when you freeze dry them, they're 70% empty space, stars are ejecting stardust at a rate of 70% empty space, and Shungite has the same kind of principle, and then we start looking at what is life and what is Shungite, and is there a difference? Possibly not. So these are some of the subjects I'll be discussing with my guest in a while, because she's been in the saddle for 2 hours, and need to get the cats in order and all that stuff. Yes. So lovely to see you all. It's good to be here. It's another Sunday. It's the last Sunday, August 2014, and tomorrow is the 1st of September, and September is our kind of relaunch month. So you'll be seeing in the next few weeks, you'll be receiving emails. You should have received an email yesterday. If you would like to continue receiving subscriptions, we've decided to do two levels of email subscription. We have one weekly one and one daily one. Obviously, the daily one will have a finer level of detail as to the weekly, but the weekly should give you a rough guide of who's got a guest arranged, at least. Because of the vagaries, the vicissitudes, the everyday cluster things that happen in internet radio, with Skype, with servers, and with hackers, and it's quite a challenge to actually say this is going to happen on this day at this time. It's, you know, you've no idea, especially for people who are going through this process, because time is doing all sorts of weird things. You know, you could walk into a room and come back an hour later, or what you thought was an hour later, and you've been there all day. Or you could walk into a room, come out 5 minutes later, and nothing's happened, and you felt like you've been in there for hours. So we have a continuous process, right? So I was talking about ejectamenta. So it's very interesting that we eat food and we emit sound. So we take in food and we emit sound, and we emit other stuff as well, and that can be used in other parts of the planet to feed, or other parts of our garden, to feed plants and things like that. So we are part of the ecosystem, and the ecosystem, you know what's brilliant about the Earth? Another thing that's really brilliant about the Earth is, like, you put your waste material down there and somebody else thinks that that is food. Even if it is your beagle. If you have a way of expanding this idea, you know, living things take in and they emit. So, let's look at a star. Now, we say a star is a living thing. So the star is, obviously, it's emitting light. What it is also doing is absorbing gravity. But you don't know that. Yeah, no, we don't know that. But it is. It's absorbing gravity. And gravity occurs in streams and waves and in hyperdimensional realities. How does gravity get to the whole of the universe instantaneously? We don't know, but it does. You know, there are gamma bursts and they're very highly active, almost luminal. That means things that run at the speed of light. But in general, we're not, we don't see see gravity, or well, we see its immediate effect. Oh, we don't see its immediate effect. We see its cumulative effect. So, when we've got a system with something that eats and something that poops, you know, basically that's what life is. It eats and it poops, and the Earth takes what we poop and makes it into new stuff that we can then eat, which is really good. I like that arrangement, and that's almost sustainable. But what's happening when you've got a star that's eating gravity? It's also doing things with time and other. Yeah, for the ears, most of the energy is going outward from them. We are. Yeah, I'm just looking at the chat room there. There's Astromark. We are billion-year-old carbon. Yes. For the ears, most of the energy is going outward from them. Really? I know that the ear does emit a frequency which is ultrasonic, indeed. It's what Shari Edwards has described being called the astro... No, no, not the astro. The otoacoustic emission. O-T-O acoustic emission. Which means sound that comes from the ears. Which is weird, because you think ears take in, you know? So again, ears are taking in sound and emitting sound on a different frequency. So what we've done, what we do to food, is we take it down several frequencies. You know, we take it down a few octaves. We make it, you know, takes it back to broken down chemicals that sort of end up as this brown stuff. Anyway, less of that. But basically, stardust was where we started, and it was a kind of accident, because it was just in the playlist, and I normally have a player stop at the end of the theme tune, but I thought, you know, that's cool, I'll just let it happen. That was a lovely song anyway to play. And it's the kind of theme of the day, is what Nancy and Walt were talking about with Shungite. I'm pretty convinced Shungite is somehow related to this stuff that is made in stars. It's certainly described as being made in space, in a vacuum, in weightlessness. So it's a very interesting thing. How does that relate? We'll have a chat later when Nancy comes back online. As it is. Oh, this is a message from Dubliner. I heard years ago that the electrical activity around the ears is going from the brain to the ears, possibly to project an aura. Now, that's very interesting, because the ears are like antennae, aren't they? That, you know, if you look at a satellite dish and then you look at a human ear, you know, there's a similarity there. There is a reflection, reflective surfaces, and all of that. You know, it's interesting though, because the ear is a unique thing. You know, people can be identified quite well forensically with studying the shape of the ears and things like that. Which leads me to think, does everybody hear the same thing? How do I know that what I'm hearing on this record is the same as what you're hearing on the record when we playing the same record? So it may be that it's because of having different shaped ears, we'll have different frequencies which we are prone to listening to, or that they are not over-expressed and over-amplified when the when they're played. So, for instance, if you have an over-expressed note that is already playing in your head, you may have a situation, or that your ears are sensitive to one particular frequency. You might hear something completely different to somebody else, so that when you hear music with that frequency on it, you'll be turned off by it. It'll be too much. It'll be overwhelming. So you'll want to walk away from that. Whereas somebody else may not have that specific frequency sensitivity. So indeed, they may be actually needing that frequency to be healthy. It's a aura thing, as I guess, amplifier of waves. Yes. So, very good. Welcome, everybody. Yeah, welcome, J2. Who have we got? Oh, what's happened to J2? Can we voice him? Let's see if I can voice him. I've never voiced anybody. Let's see if that works. Oh. Uh-huh. So, there we go. Yes. Natural fullerenes. Yes. So, that's interesting, Tribal. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Right. Good. If that... There's all sorts of questions going on here. Pink, green and blue. Try the blue, because if it's light blue and blue, that's probably, you know, they although the pink does... Oh, sorry, I'm talking about the... I'm talking about these input sockets on a computer. It's usually pink is the mic, blue is the head... blue might be the headphones, and green the lining. But anyway, if anybody can help Bright Eyes on that, I have no idea actually what it is. Yeah. Yes, indeed. And as a Dubliner in the chat room here, thanks for coming in. You're saying some very interesting things. Your own voice sounds different when you hear the recording, as your own ears hear also from internally from the back of the throat and vibration. Absolutely. There's a whole component, and that component kind of is mostly that component. I hear that, but you don't. All you hear is this kind of squeaky, nasally voice. You know, I've... Oh, man. Went to a party on Friday night, and I woke up in my bow tie. That's all I need to say, brothers and sisters. I woke up in a bow tie, so you can imagine what kind of night I had. It was great. When I'm saying I woke up in a bow tie, I didn't just have a bow tie on. No, I had all my clothes on, including the bow tie, which is like the idea of me sleeping in like that. That's not good. That's not me. So, where are we? Yeah, so... good. Thank you, J2. Yeah. Yes. Interesting. Right. Well, we're working on new versions of chat rooms and things like that. So, it's good to have you all here. We started with Stardust, and so I'm going to bring in my friend, co-host, associate producer, Shungai expert, and form builder. We had a great talk about forms in the last show. You'll have to listen to the archive if you missed it. It's the ODD Collective that will be under... Actually, I'm going to reorganize all the archives so that the show names and the host names all match up, and we'll get that. So, welcome, Nancy Hopkins. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean, you can't talk to Walt for 2 hours without feeling fantastic.
So tell everybody about Walt and what you've been talking about, because I've had friends round and I've been able to listen. I've been hearing things in the background, but you know, I've been having to pay attention. So go ahead.
I really think I need to listen to the tape a few times, because what he was saying was truly extraordinary science, in that he does understand the Orgon, Orgonite, Shungite connection. And he is very experienced in probably past lifetimes for shamanistic journeys. So he, over the years, has taken shamanistic journeys for himself, but then he began to be guided to essentially stand in for somebody who can't do it, but to go with their guides to understand what it is that they need to know, including if he should create a device for them based on Orgon / Orgonite. And he got into a lot of mentioning the history of how he kind of got into this and is doing it. He was following people who had actually done the work in, like, Sid Sperling. And I can't remember all the people he named, but the people that were actually working, well, Dr. Reich, and were working in this field. So he learned from them, and then he connected to his own guides and began to get downloads of enhancements and tweaks to the systems that were there and some of his own original creations. So, and this is where it got really interesting. I mean, the whole thing was interesting, but this is where I was like, I got the mic muted, and I'm like, I was just so stoked. I was like screaming here, like, oh my God, I can't believe he's saying this. He did a shamanistic journey to touch the spirit of Shungite to find out what is Shungite all about. And you really have to listen to his explanation of it, because it goes for when somebody who really is taking these journeys, they're as real as anything else, probably more real. When they're taking them and they tell you about it, there is an authenticity that is there that I cannot give you because I wasn't there. But I can tell you that I know he took these journeys. And what he found out about the Shungite was that, how did he explain it? He was told it was a reality tuner. And when he asked and he said that the downloads were coming so fast that he really was having a difficult time keeping up with it. So it was like, you know, okay, what do you mean by that? And what he got was that, you remember how I'm always talking about Shungite being a quantum universe, that's its secret, that inside those buckyballs is a quantum universe, and that I believe that, and I actually found this interesting, whereas before when I would talk about the Shungite being in the Russian, the area of far western Russia and eastern Finland is right over the border, is where this field is. It's 1,000 square miles, and it's just laying there in big hunks and been laying there for 2 to 4 billion years, and all of a sudden it's like we get introduced to Shungite. Now Shungite is showing, and he's showing it. He talked about some of the experiments that he did with Shungite to show how it changes the flow of Orgon, Orgonite, and how the molecules itself, he saw in when he was on the Vision Quest, shamanistic trip, that this was amazing because it explained so much. He saw the molecule of Shungite being constructed by the fullerenes in layers. And he actually talked about like the skin of an onion, and that the plane of the mineral itself is got the edge. It's circular. It takes the roundness. It's not linear. It's not going straight. It's taking this roundness. Like most of us feel that, you know, the true ether energy is a round thing, not square and linear, and it's much more dynamic, and that's what he was saying. But then what he did, he took a blowtorch to one of the pieces of Shungite I gave him, and he said that thank God he had his safety goggles on, because where the torch was actually hitting the Shungite, the edge of the Shungite, he said big teeny pieces, shards of the Shungite started to just pop off of the rock. And when he looked at them under a microscope, he could see that they were all kind of taking that same circular look, like a, you know, like a peel, like he said fish, he said like a fish, a scale on a fish. He said like that.
So they were convex.
Yes, they were convex. Yes. But that they were also, you know, like these little pieces of stuff just coming off of it. And, what Shungite, what he finally got to in the Vision Quest is that this reality tuning that Shungite does is that it actually, because of its quantum configuration, allows, if you believe in the energies and you get into it, it allows an operator, let's say, to be able to tune the Shungite to open a door to much higher energies than are accessible in about any other way. And when he was explaining it, I could see it. It's like it's 10% of the universe's matter that we understand and know. 90% of it is everything else. And it's like you open the door to the 90%. So you really have to listen to the show. He was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Excellent. Well, I'll see if I can go back in time and listen to that show again, because I don't think I've got any time to listen to it in the future. Anyway, so we'll reconvene with him tomorrow and continue the conversation with Walt about this. But we still have plenty to talk about, you and I, as we always do. So Shungite stories of the week, huh?
Well, you know, what he was making very real is how profoundly powerful it really is. And, you know, I mean, we're just touching what, you know, the slightest of what this probably truly is meaning. I mean, it was long. We got into the proton belt and what's that? I started getting, you know, fine-tuning my own understanding of Shungite, and I was taking the position that it was Gaia that was imbuing the Shungite with the special qualities, not the configuration of the fullerene, but whatever was inside that quantum universe that I saw doing all these magical things. And of course, magic is only manipulation of energy. So what he pointed out was that, well, what we pointed out together as we talked about it, was it's more likely that the fullerene configuration is actually absorbing the new energies, not new in the sense of forever, but new to us here, because we're going through this area of the galaxy where the middle of the galaxy is pointing directly at us, and it's throwing a huge amount of new radiation, new energy, new dust particles. And he said that when they analyzed the... right now, if you try to look at the center of the galaxy, you can't see it. It's all murky. You can see the sides of it, the spirals, but to actually look inside it, because there's so much stuff there. And so they somehow or another, I don't know, spectrographically or how they did it, but they discovered that... this seeming dust that is obscuring the center of the universe is primarily carbon. And it's not going to surprise me if we find out that the energies that we're now unleashing in Shungite are essentially new to Shungite, that it's absorbing, it's taking in these new energies. And so whereas some of these energies are damaging, like causing burns on plants, and we know it's causing changes in the minerals in the half-life, and that DNA is changing. Children have different DNA structures in many cases. So all of this changing stuff is like the Shungite becomes a repository for this energy. So you can actually, now you've got a place. And the other thing that was really interesting is that he tested it out, and he found that it took 3 Shungite nuggets to create a, what is the word that he used? It's a quantum entanglement. He didn't use that word, but the three have to create this field. And it takes three, but it doesn't matter how big the shungite is. Even little pieces of it. And I kept saying that, you know, whereas I was using two, he's saying, no, it should really be three together, create this field that is, self-perpetuating. But I also was very focused on the fact that the little fullerene itself, you know, was like a quantum universe that was putting out what it is that people need. It's always going to a state of balance. And that's because it has got such an ability to be able to fine-tune reality.
So that's very interesting. So there was something else. How does he tune it? Is he moving them in spatial distance? Is it a matter of applying pressure? What's the tuning method for his being able to tune realities?
He was using radionics box.
Yeah,
he was thinking in terms of the radionics box, and that's what. Well, he was, you know, he's on a vision quest, a shamanistic tripping here, and he sees a radionics box, and so, well, radionics box has got, it's just a box. There's no circuitry; it's all energy. But you have a witness part of it that you most people will use a picture, and then you have these dials that aren't hooked up to anything. And then you have different types of touch plates that will change. And the circuitry is really the human being. So you turn the dials, and you'll feel in the hand that's on the touch plate a change. And when you get to that change, you stop tuning the dials. And theoretically, and it's been proven time and time again, you end up knowing what the frequency is of whatever the picture is. So if it's a tree that's damaged by some kind of a something, you now have the frequency at which this damaging whatever it is working. And so then you can take like a pesticide and you can drop a drop of there in there. You can even put the bottle in there until you got what it is that is going to stop what's happening to the tree. And then you don't have to do anything. In 3 or 4 days, whatever was in there, it's all energy. So if you just think of it in energy, it's magic, but it's not magic, it's just energy manipulation. So what he did was he saw this image where the circuitry was no longer primarily a human being. It was a circuitry where it was shungite was doing the manipulation. Because in reality, when you feel the witness, the energy, you're... incredible beingness that people so underestimate, knows what that frequency is. The rest of it is kind of like BS. It's all mental. It's all energy. But if you believe in it, then you've put it all out there. All of these other things are just a mechanism for you to fine-tune. Well, if shungite's in the system, then when you start fine-tuning, you're not just pulling in the power that exists in a human being. You're actually pulling from the 90% of the cosmos that, you know, most of us don't have access to because we don't understand it. So the shungite just brings that into the reality, and you can make massive reality changes very quickly.
So that's interesting. So all right, so let's talk about more things.
Three.
I heard another little snatch of you were talking about three, and then my friend who is here just was talking, you know, hearing the conversation we were having earlier, and she's saying, but when you crack the shungite, it forms triangular pieces, not curved pieces. Any comment on that?
I don't know why she's saying that. That's not been my experience.
Right. Well, we, if you crush a piece of shungite, you know, with a hammer or a rock, it makes tiny little triangular pieces. Then, yeah, a lot of the pieces that you get have these like three-way points on them.
Okay. Yes. When you're talking about doing and you're making small pieces, what we were talking, well, I had, it was 2-point-something pounds of shungite. And I needed to break it because I didn't have anything for any, I didn't have nut, no produce. It was all in these big rocks. So I took it and I wrapped it in a towel. And then I took a metal mallet and I smacked it. And when I unwrapped the towel, there were two pieces. Now, this is like a brick. It's not quite in the shape of a brick, but it's about the size of a good brick. There were two slices, like somebody had sliced a piece of bread.
So it had a sheer, what they call a sheer face.
But it wasn't following a linear line. It has a contour to it. It's like popping out.
Okay, so what you're saying is, if you were to take, for instance, a piece of orange, you cut in to the skin of the orange, and you peel that piece of orange off, it's got a curve to it, right? And that curve, although if you were to take a straight knife and cut a segment of orange, you would make a straight edge, but its natural form is that curve, because that's the way an orange grows. The skin grows on the outside. Accreting. Now, there's much conversation in the chat room. Nikki is talking about her experience. She was channeling some shungite the other day. One time soon, I hope maybe tomorrow afternoon, I'll play the show that I recorded with Nikki, with Wolf Baby, she was like tuning into a piece of shungite and saying what it was saying. We had some very, very interesting things, I don't want to blow the wad on some of it, but there's some interesting angles that she's got on the whole thing.
So, if you think of terms of the fullerene molecule itself, which is a big molecule, it's like one of the biggest molecules. Okay, and how do you build this thing? You build it with triangles. So when you're getting down into the small pieces, you're virtually ripping out fullerene type shapes. You're busting up these things. They're wanting to go into triangle shapes. That's how you put together a geodesic dome. You're doing it with triangles. Am I wrong?
Yes, very good. Well, yeah, that's good. Okay. Good point.
So, but when you've got a bigger piece and you've got more of the shungite structure in it, I mean the fullerene structure in the shungite, then it wants to kind of fit together as this onion peel. So that when you do smack it, it wants, well, the other thing that we didn't bring up on the show, but the other thing that I noticed was that when I was working with a pendant, there was an up and a down. There's a front and a back, but that's mostly cosmetic.
Yeah, a polarity, as Walt would say. He talks about, you know, shungite does have polarity, like crystals do.
Well, yes, but this goes beyond that, because what he discovered was he ran a bunch of shungite in series, and then he hit it with a magnetic field. And the magnetic field, if it was crossing, in other words, perpendicular, if it was crossing, it would there would be no effect in the energy movement, really. But if he laid it in line with the shungite, all of a sudden there was an extreme jump in how fast in the entire field. So shungite has this magnetic polarity, and of course it would be up and down. That's the way I would feel it. So there's this magnetic polarity plus the positive negative side to it. So it's a very complex structure, so that when you hit it, like, and I actually hit it 3 times, and the only thing that happened was like 7 slices, and they were all just about the same thickness. It was like we looked at this thing and it looked like somebody had sliced bread. It was bizarre.
Okay, but, well, that's, I mean, look, if you take an onion and you cut into it in half, you cut it into a quarter, you know, cut it along its axis, you'll eventually get to what you're looking at. You know, you're looking at a slice of something that you've cut from like the outside to the inside of a sphere.
Right, but you're not in this case using a knife. You're actually using a physical force that is mechanical.
Oh yeah, no, I know, but that's what you're doing is you're then so you've got, imagine you've got a slice of onion or a stick of onion, like a core. You take an apple corer, there we go, take an apple corer and push it into an onion, right?
Yep.
And take that core out. You're then able to split the core, and it will split easily at the places between the layers of the onion.
Yes.
And then you'll end up with pieces that look like what we've got.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you know, why were you just talking idly as you do? I just took a piece of elite shungite, right? And I'm holding it in front of my little lamp with a steel craft knife blade. And for some reason, I just thought, oh, I wonder how hard this stuff is. And I thought, I'll scratch it. And so I dug the... that is incredible. I dug the side of the knife in, the edge of the blade, into the shungite. And it did scratch, sure enough. But it emits this kind of smoke. It's like...
Really?
Yeah, it just pours right off into the lamp. I was like, wow, that's interesting. So...
You just scratched the surface, you're seeing smoke?
Yeah, I scratched the surface of the elite shungite, the expensive stuff. Sorry, darling. But you see, and as you say, there is a layer. It is layered, perhaps it's a bit like this stuff comes in balls, if you like. Like profiteroles. And they all stick together, making one surface. And that's like a fractal, and the whole structure of that makes bigger balls that makes bigger balls that eventually makes the shungite.
Well, the elite has got 90% fullerenes in it, whereas the carbon black stuff that we play with is either 35 to 60, you know, depending on where you're getting it in the mines. But the elite is very brittle. It's very difficult to take and shape that into like a silver mold or a silver setting. You know how some thing you shape it and then you put it in the setting and you set it. But in the case of elite, it's so brittle you cannot just shape it. It's like slivers come off of it, just pieces.
Yeah, it fractures very easily. It fractures dramatically. It really makes them a meal. Oh, look, I'm fracturing. Hey.
it's the same sort of thing that you get when he was putting the blowtorch to it. You know, all these things were just flying off of it. They're just. What I asked him, I said, okay, so when you were heating the surface of the shungite, I said, was the layer of shungite fullerenes heating up and therefore expanding and therefore losing their attachment to the layer underneath and then just flying apart? And he said, yes, that's what he thought was happening.
You know what I think is happening here? That smoke, because you scratch the surface... And then, like, where's the dust gone?
There's no dust.
There's no dust because that smoke is the dust. It turns to smoke when you scratch it. Holy crap. Another weird property of shungite. Anyway, yeah, so that's a very interesting thing, isn't it?
Yes, we got off on, you know, into the theoretics and the philosophies and all that sort of thing, and we were having a good time with it, but we got into the I bring it up, you know, because it's like what I find that makes people hesitant to jump on the shungite bandwagon is this real kind of fear that maybe these people are correct and that all the problems in the universe can be solved by shungite. I don't say that. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but the problems that we have right here on Earth, the EMF, the water pollution problem, the chemtrails, all of these things can be done away with shungite. So, but the hesitation comes in, well, what if everything is wonderful and everything is perfect? Am I going to be bored? And these people keep going to the necessity for drama in their life. Some people need a lot of drama in their life. And what I was trying to explain to people is that You want drama? You want to see drama? You get with Shungite, because every day something magical happens. Something you can't even anticipate happens. And, you know, yeah, it's fascinating. And it's like you say, here's another thing, you know. And the more that all of us look at it and do different things and try it out here and there, it's not disappointing. It just, and we're not alone. The chemists, the mineralogists, everybody that is investigating this are finding the same thing, that you think you know what you're doing with it, and then it does something weird, and then you're off on another thing. I mean, there's 250,000 documents on Google that the majority of them are scientific investigations into the fullerene. And, I mean, scientifically, you know, I mean, they're really looking at this stuff. So it's not just us guys that are, you know, believe that there's a lot of things going wrong that we now have a solution for. But it's also the scientists who are, I mean, Nobel Prizes have been given on the study of this stuff. So it's big. It's much bigger than most people can even imagine.
Bigger than you can imagine. Bigger than you'd want to have in your living room. No, it's quite an interesting thing. That is fascinating. Because that is like, that's a really brittle substance. A substance that just kind of explodes, fractures into dust-sized particles. I'm going to have to get this under the microscope. And explodes into dust-sized particles when you scratch it, when you scratch the surface. And that part is no longer shiny.
So you've got, how big a scratch did you put in this thing?
About 4 millimeters long. I mean, the elite shungite, okay, people, elite shungite looks like, it looks like glass meets metal, so it looks like a metal that fractures like glass. You can see that you need to make just a very small, indentation. To send the crack all the way through it. Just like, you know, if you just touch, hit the edge of a glass with a nail and a hammer, it'll send a wave through the glass and it'll just shatter. It looks very similar to the fractured edge of broken glass here. So yeah, that also fits in with what Nancy's talking about, that it is formed in spheres. It's got spherical stress markings on it.
No, when you scratch it, you say underneath the scratch is now dull, because one of the things about elite is it's very shiny. It's a very shiny piece of, and you can't get very big pieces of it. But so when you scratched underneath it, it now is dull.
Well, it's I'd like to look at it under the microscope, but it doesn't reflect the same as the stuff around it. But I think what I've done, I've roughened up the surface. So
maybe
it could be shiny microscopically, but now it's reflecting all over the place, so it won't show up as shiny. It's only about like 4 millimeters long and 1 millimeter wide. It's just a little scratch that I put in with them, I think. Wolf Baby just got a whole bunch of shungite from Russia, and she's got some stone tumbles. Big pieces, like the you fit in your hand, some pieces of elite, and sitting humming away on the windowsill beside my bed. It's quite interesting. But I have felt a sort of cleansing sense, a sense of like wanting to keep things clean and feeling like cleaning things around it. That's interesting.
Yeah, one of my friends has got shungite, and she also got chickens just about the same time the shungite got there. And she says, these chickens must want it clean. She said, I can't stop cleaning, but now I'm going to tell her it's not the chickens, it's the shungite.
Yeah, it's definitely not the chickens. The chickens do not want you to make, well, unless they start pooping on your floor, then you really want to clean.
Yeah, she just, but... What's happening, I think, also, is that every day that goes on, and more people are getting tuned to the Shungite, the more other people are resonating to them, and they're getting tuned whether they want to or not. And if it wasn't Shungite, it'd be something else. I mean, I don't think that it doesn't make any sense that we would just let ourselves be destroyed. I mean, you know, well, Walt got talking about, you know, think of it as a movie, not as a reality. You know, and, you know, we like happy endings in movies, so, you know, we've got to get out there, you know, and the future cannot be predicted, it can only be created, so we have to, you know, start projecting really positive thoughts. And if you're working with Shungite, the theory is that not only will the Shungite balance your etheric and your energy bodies, but it will also enhance your ability to fine-tune reality, because it's giving you the extra energy to do that, to override. You know, I mean, we don't have to think in terms of billions of people agreeing with our reality, because you're working with something that creates realities very simply. You don't need a lot of people. All you need is a focused agenda, if you will, for creating something better. And the beauty of Shungite is that if it fell into the hands of the bad guys, it would not work for them. It will only begin resonating with a person that has a certain advanced understanding of what they're doing. So, you know, it's like the weapon that will only work if it's got your fingerprint.
My friend Fiona here, she's just made a piece of Shungite jewelry. She took a piece and some copper wire, and it's like a little, almost like a doorbell or something, like a door knocker, because it's just swinging. It's like there's a little brass. She's got, what's that? A Celtic brass backing there, and it's kind of forward, like a bit like a fishing line. You know those anglerfish? Looking like the nose of an anglerfish, and the piece of Shungite is kind of dangling in front of it, and there you go, vibrating away. Thanks very much, Pete. So yes, we're all having fun with the stuff here, I have to tell you. We're you know, it's like Shungite is making its self known in Forres, certainly, and we've now got 3 anchor points in the town. So and as we all know, 3 is very magical with the Shungite.
Yes, I mean, I love Walt because he tells me stuff about it I don't know, and he confirms stuff that I did know but had no way of showing or proving or talking about. The guy really does. You're going to have I missed you not being there, because I know that between the two of you, you could probably build some incredible device right on air. I mean, you both have I understand the theory. But I don't build these things. I mean, I do build, you know, simpler versions of it, just because I can understand the energies and stuff. But the concept of bringing Orgon and Orgonite into the picture, and how he's able to determine, and I can't remember what he called it. I have to listen to that again. But it's actually like a chart, and he would use a pendulum to be able. The pendulum would tell him where on the chart this particular piece of energy is. And he went into a long discussion, or not a long, but a concise discussion of the complexity of the thing, in that different areas of this chart are measuring different things. But he was able to get some really specific measurements on the field of the Shungite. And that's where he was doing that operation when he determined that it took the 3 pieces. Then again, it didn't matter what size, but it took 3 to really lock in the field. And so, the more we do, the more we learn, the better we're going to get at this thing. And it's a new science. And I said on my show, I said, please, anybody that is out there working in the area of free energy, and you're trying to devise these devices, look at Shungite. It may be the piece that you need to make it go, because I'm sure that there are many different ways of making these things go. So, you know, take the time to just get some shungite and start playing with it, and listen to DeWalt to see what else he comes up with. And Jay and I, we built us a shungite wand one day on air, and that, you know, you're still playing with it, I'm assuming.
That's, yeah, it's cool in many ways. It's, number one, it's cool. it looks cool. But number two, it has a cooling, it's like one of those gel things you put in the freezer. If you need to cool something down, if you need to cool a heated argument down, you can bring the temperature down. It's a very interesting, and that's what Walt was saying, that when you you put a coil, attach it to a piece of shungite, and the argon flowing through the coil and the shungite makes the coil get cold.
Yeah, by one Celsius degree. One Celsius degree. He could measure it. Did you hear me?
Yeah. One Celsius.
He felt it go cold in his hand, and then he actually measured it, and it was a full Celsius degree drop.
So, so what this thing also does is it can repolarize, or harmonically polarize, make it harmoniously polarized, make it polarized to a harmonious level, with his little device, which is basically a coil, two coils interlinked, interwoven, with a piece of shungite on the end of each coil, and that will repolarize your electricity supply. He attached it to the outside of the cable, to the, you know, the cable that goes into the house, and he's charging $20 for them if you want to buy one, and that will clean your electricity up a lot. Because what it is, it's these what they call them, they produce dirty electricity, and dirty electricity is basically you haven't got a pure note. It's like somebody's putting clicks and pops, and, you know, it's like listening to an old vinyl record. That's what dirty electricity means. And so what the shungite does, it strips it back to what it should be, which is that the harmonious frequency. So it harmonizes things, and it will harmonize your electricity. So go ahead, Nancy.
The same effect can be made by the nuggets themselves. If you got like enough of them to start this field happening, you don't need to go outside of just the shungite itself. That's how powerful it is. When you take and you wrap shungite in any kind of a wire, it's much more powerful by itself. So, you know, if you just go out there, and I'm not trying to say don't buy this from him, because you buy it from him, but shungite is that powerful that all you have to do is, you know, put a couple of, we've seen one nugget on electrical systems completely reset electrical systems. We've seen people putting shungite in the pool. They're always getting in trouble. They put it in the pool filter, and as soon as the filter got back in position, it was one of these modern, got all sorts of computerizations and everything on the system. As soon as they put it back in there, everything tripped out. It was like going crazy. And of course, you know, my friend was getting yelled at for breaking this pool system. And so finally she got the person that owned it got a hold of her husband. He said, "I don't know what you've done, but just go push the button to reset." And they pushed the button to reset, and no problem, because the shungite wanted to reset the entire system to clean it all up. And we've seen it, like one nugget put on a computer system. This is an insane thing. This computer system is in a, I'm not going to name the company, but it's in a company that serves, you know, like any fast food type of thing. It's one of these big companies. And they actually put this computer thing in there that was sending out a signal probably similar to a Curlian effect, in that it was able to read the bioelectromagnetic field of the customers. And the idea sold to this big company was that you'd be able to determine if your customers were having a good time in a given store. So they turned this sucker on, and as soon as they did, the employees began to feel sick, nauseous, headaches, the whole bit, because now you've got a very obtrusive kind of a signal that's there that is absolutely targeting the human bioelectromagnetic field. The customers would come in, they'd hit this field, they'd go immediately into, oh crap, they don't even know what's wrong, and so they're having a terrible experience there because of the energies.
It would be great if it was a drugstore, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But don't anyone get any ideas.
So what happened was that the customer base fell off drastically, and a third of the people that worked there quit before one of the people that worked there put the nugget on the system. And immediately this thing that was controlling everything started to go haywire. The computers were going on and off, on and off. Everything started jumping around. And 24 hours later, without anybody being brought in to do anything, it had reset. And no more headaches, no more nauseousness. The customer started coming back. And that was one nugget of shungite.
And what sort of grammage, how heavy was this piece of nugget?
I don't think it was more than 6 grams.
All right, so, you know, I'm looking at 6 to 7 grams. That's a small pendant, really.
Yes.
Yeah. About the size of the tip of your finger. So, these are a couple of things. Where was I going with that? I'm still fascinated by the fact that that basically shattered into powder that then floated away.
I've only got one piece of shungite, and I will not take a chance scratching it like that because it's a special piece. But I'm going to have to start ordering shungite. It was like, the elite, just to see the smoke.
Well, it's quite brittle, I discovered. Yeah. Where I was touching it, is the reason I had the blade there, and it's got a kind of, there is like a layering here, and there's one piece of the stone where the layer has kind of half cracked off, so it's like half of the lid has kind of broken off, and in between the layers is a red substance, some sort of red deposit, probably got iron in it or something like that, because you get iron pyrites with these as well. So again, this is I really feel this is like, this has been formed in a star. It really feels like something that's been through an incredible amount of heat and pressure and light and
well,
and
imagine
stuff like that. You
can't burn shungite. You can take fullerenes and put them under a certain amount of pressure and they'll turn to diamonds quite quickly, but normal shungite takes a tremendous, the pressure isn't really doing anything to it, so it's so unique in and of itself. But yeah, coming from the stars, coming from the womb of the universe, I don't know, but it's something that everybody should start to pay attention to, get your hands on it. We had this one guy, and I think of him a lot. He was like, bah humbug on shungite, you people are crazy. And I think it must have been at least 2 months, maybe a little more. He posts and he says, okay, the stone talked to me. Now I get it. I believe. And he never expanded on what he had heard, but all of a sudden he got it, So if you just open up and give shungite a chance, it's you got nothing to lose except a little bit of money just buying it. And both Jay and I, we have stores that we can get you the stuff.
I have to say, if you order it yourself, it'll take weeks. These boxes, and it's always like a Christmas, it's like Christmas morning when the box arrives, because you've ordered something new that is different, and it is it's wonderful. And you get very black.
Yes.
When Nikki did this show, she was actually covered in shungite dust. She was totally immersed in the stuff.
People can go out to eBay and other places and they can buy it, but the problem is you need you need to have time, and you need to be able to work with some of these vendors, because it's not the easiest thing to do, and you're never going to be sure of exactly what you're going to get, even if you've worked with a vendor before. I've had orders of 10 kilograms where virtually half of the thing was smaller, and half of them were, you know, what I expected. I've had packages where they were much too big for pendants. You know, it's like it's not the easiest thing in the world to try to bring this stuff in and do things with it, because of the complexity and the time. But you know, anybody can get into the business. But I'm going to guarantee you, if you go into the business because you want to make money, you're going to hurt. If you go into the business to get shungite to people so that they can have a new chance of becoming empowered because of the changes that shungite will assist you in making, to make your reality something that is just absolutely wonderful. If you're going into it for that purpose, you cannot fail. But if you're going into it for greed and money, I'm guaranteeing you ain't going to go nowhere. You know, your whole life is going to explode in front of you. Because that, it only makes sense that if you were giving a gift like this to humanity, to be able to make this new enlightenment, this event, then you would protect it by all means. And I've watched people who were, you know, very, let's say, damaged souls, spirits, human beings, who tried to deal with shungite. And everything would go right until they saw monetary reasons for continuing with it. And as soon as that would happen, all hell would break loose in their lives. So I'm not saying this because I think it. I'm saying it because I've seen it. So I'm just telling you, you know, the business is out there, but you've got to do it in a sacred way. You'll go very far if that's where you're really coming from. And if you don't, you're not going to go anywhere.
Exactly. And, you know, everybody's coming up now. Okay, so people are coming up with ideas of what they want to make with it. For instance, Mary is saying she's got to make a shungite quilt for her bed, or shungite jammies. My friend and I, we've been discussing here shungite clothing with little pockets that have shungite at different, maybe acupuncture points or something like that, meridian points. Somebody's saying in the chat room about mobile phones. I've actually got some mobile phone protectors, which is simply a little disc of shungite. It's about 2 centimeters across, like a coin, about the size of a dime, with a sticky back tape on it, so you can stick it to the back of your phone. Unfortunately, a lot of phones these days have curved surfaces, although an iPhone is a nice little flat pack, so you'll get that. And the best thing even is to use dowsing to find the right place. You know, just use a muscle check or something like that to find the right place on the phone for this thing to be stuck, and then stick it just there. It'll be different for everyone because you essentially, what it does to your mobile phone signal is to harmonize it. It doesn't change its frequency, but it turns the treble down. It's just like a tone control. Exactly like a tone control.
It attenuates it.
Yeah, attenuates, correct.
Yeah, but you can do that if you're carrying a nugget in your pocket. Actually, if you've got a nugget that's wrapped, wire wrapped, you can do the same thing, or if you're wearing a pendant or earrings. Anytime the shungite is on your body, it's actually creating such a resonance that you yourself are like an antenna of shungite. And we call this the shungite glow. I mean, I virtually can tell when somebody's wearing it or not wearing it, because they've either got the glow or they don't. But yeah, these things are I don't deal with them because they're fairly expensive to get in any kind of way. Even back when you get back into the Russian dealers, they're expensive. So, but they are there, you know, and you can get them, but like if you can't get that, just get some kind of shungite that you keep on. And remember your kids. Your kids are the ones that are really hurting because of all this stuff. And shungite will, we've got testimonials from children that You know, they feel like they've got a, what was it? It's Dylan, 7 years old, and he said, I feel like a super hero that's got a force field protecting me, is what he said.
So that leads us to a question from Trywolf. I don't get how it's a shield. How can a piece of stone be a shield? Do you want to explain how that might work?
How is it a shield? It's a shield because the stone, because of this fullerene molecule, has the ability to create a energy field that is the energy field that is the healthiest energy field for somebody to be existing in. So when you've got a pendant on, it's creating your energy field, which is your etheric body. There's other layers, but your etheric body is the one that acts like a blueprint for your physical body. So when the shungite gets in the field, it starts to resonate that that etheric energy body to vibrate at a rate that is healthy. So when you get electromagnetic waves coming in or Wi-Fi waves coming in, when they hit this energy field that you're vibrating, because you're vibrating, the shungite's made you vibrate, it just changes it, it attenuates it, it modulates it into what is not harmful and in fact is healing. Now the Russians, you'll see Westerners talking about blocking and about absorbing. And the Russians are not saying that. They're saying it changes, it attenuates, it changes the signal. Now it's still, and people are going, well, why doesn't it change the frequency? Why can't you see the change? Because it's not working in frequencies below the speed of light. It's working in quantum energies that are above the speed of light. So for a kid who is wearing one of these things, the computer that was giving him headaches and giving him eye strain and stuff, that energy that's coming off of the computer is no longer affecting him that way, because when it enters this field, it's instantaneously remodulated into being something that is healing. Now, so I hope I explained that well enough.
So here's another point, and very good. Well, this seems to be a new fashion. Okay, now where was it? This is, again, Mary says, I dreamed I got a round flat packet of tiny shungite bits to place in the front of my bra over heart center. And then Brighter says, I put nuggets in me bra. So it felt very calming. There we go. So that's another thing you can do. The other way of doing it is, to get a nice pretty pendant, I got one. It's a triangle. It's about 2 inches on a side, and I've got one for me. But before I got one for me, I got a female one, which is a. So you got two triangles, and the female one is a triangle pointing down the way, and the male one is a triangle pointing up the way. And so when they come together, they become the Star of David, and that's the thing. And Wolf Baby was so excited when she saw the triangle. Oh, you bought it for me. I said, I didn't really. I bought it as a symbol. But anyway, she hasn't let go of it. So it was for her. It's about, what was it? I think we measured it about 11 to 12 grams of shungite. I normally place them to fit right in that little... Well, for me, it's a little triangle where my belly starts and my boobs divide. But in that little niche there, that's where it sits for me.
Under your sternum.
Just on top of my sternum.
Yeah, that's that. Well, I have them all up. I got them from there on up to the.
You've got a suit, haven't you?
Just about. I would love one.
Oh, shungite buttons. There you go.
Actually, we had somebody who said, I don't feel comfortable wearing shungite pendants with my suit. Can you make me a tie, thing for shungite, shungite tie clip? And he said, or even maybe cufflinks. Now, he was only half kidding. But we've had a lot of people asking for belts. can you make us a shungite belt? And, you know, yeah, they, you know, they, you can actually, there are places where you can order, you know, if you got a heating pad thing that wraps around with a Velcro and stuff, they actually have some that have shungite embedded in them.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, I'm just thinking, you could buy a flat disc, a flat oval, for instance. You get all sorts of shapes, and they're all very convenient sizes. Because, like we say, the Russians have been doing this for years, and nobody's been listening to the Russians. Or nobody over here, because they want... Anyway, long story. The Russians have made this stuff available in many, many forms. They haven't got one. There's one form that I want, and I've been talking about it ever since, and I still haven't managed to get one sorted yet, but is a piece of shungite that is exactly the dimensions of the obelisk in 2001, A Space Odyssey. Because I think that has an alchemical purpose, not just for my whimsy, but I think that using those proportions would have a very interesting effect, because it's 1 squared, 2 squared, 3 squared on the sides.
You might try Shungite Canada. He has some weird things that he deals with.
Okay.
Different shapes. ShungiteCanada.com, I think.
Oh, cool. So, there's so much going on in the chat room. It's a very, very good one. Nobody over... Dolly asked, can you overdose on it?
No.
No. Right.
Well, let me put it this way. Some people, when they first get it, can have severe reactions to it. They can get dizzy, they can get nauseous, but that's just your energy body trying to adjust to it. If you're starting to feel like not so good immediately, that just takes accustoming. So, you know, get it away from you for a little bit, then go back to it, and pretty soon your body is going to say, oh yeah, I like this stuff, and you'll balance. It doesn't take very long. But it's not an overdose, it's just that it's sort of an overdose for the instant that you're not quite used to the energy, if you're very energy sensitive. Some people could wear this for a very long time and wouldn't feel a dang thing. But, no, you cannot, even if you're putting it like there, this is one of those things. I never believed that the fullerenes were actually going into the water and clearing it. I thought it was energy resonating the water molecules, causing them to spin, causing them to go into a natural state, which was causing all this other crap to go into a natural state, and therefore everything was getting cleaned. But then I kept encountering people saying, well, you put X amount of of shungite in a pitcher with this much water, and you leave it to 8 to 15 hours, and then you also had people cautioning you not to drink so much fullerenes, and I'm going like, the Russians have been pulling it out of the river and out of the lake for centuries, and nobody has got some weird fullerene problem. So that right away I discounted, but I kept trying to find out, how can you possibly know that X amount of shungite in X amount of water is what you need? Because to do that, you would have to know that the fullerenes are what is doing all this, and somehow or another you'd have to see fullerenes that don't exist except in the vacuum of space or in some weird stuff called shungite. So I tried to find anybody that had done a scientific investigation into how do you count how many fullerenes are in the water. And I found two studies done by Russians, and it was, they did, believe me, I was one translation away from the original Russian reports. And the only way they could even see a fullerene coming off of it was through hitting it with ultraviolet, but the final conclusion of both of those reports was, you know, it's virtually impossible to count fullerenes in water. They couldn't do it. So, I mean, they could do it, but it was so difficult to be impossible. So there is no fullerenes that are getting in the water that are going to poison you if you take too many of them. It's energy. So when you take and you throw a nugget in your water, and your dog's water and your cat's water, when you've got that stuff that is actually being energized by the shungite, it's not going to hurt you. You're not going to overdose on the energy. It's all going to balance. It always wants to go to a balanced state. So don't worry about it. It's not going to hurt you. Like I say, initially you could be unbalanced by it, but that just takes a little bit of conditioning. But no, it's never going to hurt you.
So,
and one thing else is that you'll see this silver stuff in the shungite. And when I first saw it, because I didn't know what it was, and I should have known what it was, but my first reaction is like, what is this stuff? And I thought, could that possibly be aluminum? And I'm going like, no, it shouldn't be. But it did make me cautious initially. Like, I had to go find out what this stuff was that's in the shungite. And it turns out it's pyrite. And pyrite is, again, not going to hurt you chemically. It's not going to do anything to you. And the energy of pyrite is, well, it's called fool's gold. And it brings prosperity and
it's a golden energy. It's a golden color. It looks very golden. It's like a light, slightly lighter than gold, isn't it?
And it also will look silvery, depending on the chemical composition, because shungite is it's like somebody poured a bunch of stuff in a pot and then kind of stirred it badly. And so different areas have got different stuff in it. But pyrite's not going to help you. It is the energy of abundance. But it's not like abundance. People think of it as fool's gold and you're going to make a lot of money. But in fact, pyrite is the frequency of abundance that allows you to be able to do what you need to do. The fallout of that is most people, if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and doing it happily and joyfully, they end up having no problems financially. So it's gotten linked to that, but the reality in my experience with pyrite is that it's really working to give you like the framework of abundance, that if the energy for doing what you should be doing, you know, whatever it is, it could be anything. It could be farming, it could be writing, it could be singing, it could be, you know, working on a radio station called Wolf Spirit, whatever it is. But pyrite, if you see, that's why when we get pyrite in a piece that's a pendant piece, we do charge more for it, because you don't see it very often. And it is a special rock when the pyrite is there. It's an added benefit of the shungite. So I just want people to know that that's what it is. It's pyrite, it's silver, or gold, depending on how you see it.
Well, it's very pretty. It's very pretty. Very pretty. And on my triangle thing, there's these little red veins that run through it. So it does have this kind of almost living look to it. It's almost like a blood red. And of course it is the same red as it is in blood, because it's iron. You know, these are iron deposits, which is the other thing that you find in stars, in the core of stars. So iron and carbon.
Have you ever actually checked those pyramid, those shungite pieces? Electronic?
The other day I thought, well, hang on a second, this is elite shungite. That looks like metal, but it looks like glass. You know, it's really, you know. So, does it have the properties of either? Turns out, I get my multimeter, my voltmeter, set it to resistance, and it's conductive. It's just like you could use it to as a wire, if you had a wire-shaped piece.
So you did, because I've not seen this red streak that you're talking about in any of the shungite I've dealt with.
All right, this is in the triangle that I got. The polished triangle I got.
But it is conductive. Because that's the test for shungite, because what you're describing to me sounds more like it couldn't be hematite. But hematite, if you scratch it, you get the red look to it. You know? And it was like, I've not seen a red mark in it. But you could be getting it from a different part of the, because like I say, it's this vat that's stirred up, not very good. So some areas you'll get elite, some areas you'll get shungite with a lot of pyrite, sometimes you'll get the 60% shungite, sometimes you can go as low as 35. You know, every vendor can be giving you something different. So that's the only reason. I have not seen that red strike.
All right. Well, I think it is a red stripe. Isn't it? I don't know if it's mine, because I just had a look at it, and I'm asking my friend to look at it, who is not colorblind, so so I'll get a report in a minute. This is getting the lab report. I maybe it's on Wolf Baby's piece, but I'm sure I saw a little red vein.
Well, you might have seen a red vein of Elite. Now, I have found, when I'm pricing a pendant, I'll sort of go like, okay, what price are you? And this one pendant gave me a price that I considered very, because mostly I found out after doing this for a while that the pricing that I was getting from talking to the stones, and yes, I talked to stones, was based on weight. Because sometimes you'll see a stone and it looks pretty big, but it doesn't have much weight on it. So, you know, and finally I got a digital scale. I started weighing things to find out, what is this, you know? And the difference in the weight of a stone, you cannot tell it by how big it is. It's very strange. But so I said to this one stone, I said, excuse me, but this is very expensive. I don't think you're worth this. And this, I get this voice, and it says, look at the picture. And I happened to, because I was putting it up on the store, I had a picture of the stone that I'd taken, and it was up on the screen. And because it's so big, I went, oh, my God, and I could see it. There was a piece of Elite in this stone. So the Elite, you know, will give you a gold, brown, you know, maybe that's what you're seeing. Maybe there is a line of Elite through the thing.
Ah, what do you see, Fee?
It looks like veins.
Yeah, it looks like veins.
But I don't see a color.
Oh, you don't see a card. Oh, yeah. That's right. This one's not got veins. This has got what looks like an inclusion. It looks like actually it's a thin, flat flake of pyrite.
Is it pyrite or is it elite?
Well, it's quite golden. It looks pyrite-y. Yeah, there's little flecks on the surface of it. I didn't have it with me at the time, so I just went to get it, and just looks like a very distant star field. But it is a beautiful, beautiful thing, and you know, I've been walking around with it. I have to say, it didn't help me with crowds. I still had to take space from my from this wedding that I went to. It was like about four times I had to go out and walk around the block just to kind of clear myself of all the energies. There was a lot of stuff going along, a lot of PA systems, lots of shouting.
You obviously didn't have enough shungite with you.
Yeah, I need a suit.
my partner went to a family wedding, and she said, you know, and yes, I can't even imagine what this is going to be. And she said, I'm taking shungite with me. She took a shungite generator that had like a 2.5 pound piece of shungite in it in the 10-foot copper pipe. You know, I mean, this huge thing. She took it with her to the wedding. She put it in her pocketbook. She wasn't going to take a chance. And she had a wonderful time. So
in her pocketbook?
Yeah, you need a
she
a pocket.
She got a Mary Poppins handbag or something.
It was. I mean, it's like she won't leave the house without it. She travels with it. You know, it's like she puts it in the car. She has no problems. Nobody mucks with her down here. You know, you take your life in your hands.
Hang on. Describe what she's got in her car slowly, then.
Okay, what happened was that, I got this one vendor that gets me these big bricks. So I've got a brick of it, which was, you know, it's like a, just take a big one and you blow it up to be, you know, in this case it was about 2.5 pounds. Then I take a quarter inch pipe that you would use in a refrigeration unit, like in your refrigerator, of copper that's 10 foot long, and it actually comes like a hose rolled up. So you're not getting a big piece of it, you're getting this rolled up thing. So it's got a lot of flexibility. So I take this and I proceed to create a cage. And how you do that is you start to create a spiral, a very tight spiral at one end. And then you go to the other end and you make another similar one and you come to the middle. And when you get to the middle, you fold it in on itself and then you just pull these rings apart and you have like a little cage. But when I'm working with the shungite, I have to be very careful to match what I'm doing to the piece of shungite. It's got to be wide enough. It's got to do this. It's got to do that. So I match it. So then I get this shungite inside of this pipe. So what you're talking about is about 6 to 7 inches tall, and it's about 5 inches wide. And then I string, I put cord between each of these spiraling copper pieces so that it won't pull apart, because if you pick it up by the top, the weight of the shungite will cause the thing, like a spring, to pull down. You know, you don't want that to happen. You want to keep it together. So then I wrap this stuff, this cord to hold it all together. And since she's got it, it goes into the swimming pool with her. It goes, you know, into the bath water. They put it in the back seat of the car and put a seatbelt around it. I've only let certain people have these, and they all have the same kind of reaction to it. It's like, it's mine. It will stay with me forever. I don't want to let go of it. And even people that just handle them, it's like, oh my God, the field on this thing. We know that the field is solidly at least a mile from the shungite, and that's what you feel. You can be a mile away and still feel the field, but they're about an hour away from me, 45 minutes, let's say, away from me, and every time I set one of these things up, somebody will detect it up there.
More than 40 to 50 miles.
Yeah. Yeah. One person called me up and said, man, it's reality shifted. And this was about 8 o'clock at night. And I said, yes. And I said, when do you think this shifted? I don't know, but I can tell you it was around 1 o'clock. Somewhere after 1 o'clock, everything shifted. And I said, well, I made two of these shungite vortex generators between 1 and 5 in the afternoon, because there's a lot of work that kind of sacred stuff, you know. And that person was in Pennsylvania. Now, can I say that directly that it was those shungite devices that made the change that she felt in Pennsylvania? I can. Whether you can or not, that's up to you. But the every time we do something with shungite, there is reality shifting, there's time shifting, there's energy shifting on a massive scale. And some people are only starting to really understand that. And when I do anything, I really let a group of people, I have one person who knows exactly the time that I've done things. And they basically call up the rest of the group, and they'll say, how's your day going? Not trying to put anything into their reality, but just to see, did you feel it? Without saying, did you feel a shift of energy? And, you know, inevitably, yes, something happened. They don't know what, but you know, so now they caught on to it. It's not as clean, because they'll go, she's been playing with a shungite again, has she? You know, but yeah, you can feel it. It's reality changing. Shungite is reality changing. That's all I can say.
Okay, so your show today, I've just named it Tools of Shungite Part 1.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's just I'm just sending that out to the archives right now. So, that's awesome. Where are we? We are about 25 minutes away from the end of the show. Yeah, it's really whacked by. It's been a very fast show today, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, especially considering that, you know, I was 2 hours with him, and he makes it think, you know... Again, when you're talking about such a fascinating subject, you don't even think of the time. And before you know it, it was like, oh, I looked at the clock and I went, my gosh, you know, where did that show go? We never even took a break, and I never even missed it.
That's right, and we haven't taken a break today either. So
well, you're right, you haven't.
So talking about this stuff is very energizing as well. It's very inspiring, because it's like... it's the first good news we've had.
Yes, and I tell people, I say, if you can find a solution that will take care of as many things as shungite will do without any effort, then please tell me about it. If you have no solutions, then at least listen to us. You know, and I had to laugh a couple of shows ago, you and I were on, and I was acting as, I don't think I was doing the talking. I think we had a guest on. And I'm watching the chat room and you went off on Shungite, and I think it was when John Wells was on, and you went and said something about Shungite, and somebody in the chat room says, "Jay sounds like an advertisement for Shungite." And somebody else came back and said, "Because it's the way the earth is going to be saved." You know, and it was like, yes, that's the difference.
Yeah, yeah. So it's part of, you know, it's, well, look, look, I want to take it back to this is Wolf Baby's unpublished show. She came up with a couple of, and one of the things we've been talking about in the chat room, so I think, I don't want to blow the show for everybody, but she was talking about time being like a bubble, and that as we expand, or as the bubble expands or contracts, that's what we call past and future, which is an interesting thing. So, and then there's this other thing that my guides have always been using with me, and it's the word accretion. And basically, if you were to take a balloon and dip it in paint, that's one accretion. And if you keep dipping it in paint, letting it dry, dipping it in paint, letting it dry, then it will accrete a solid, hard surface. That's what accretion means, okay? And that's how, that's one of the things that planets do as well. And so we were talking a while ago, Nancy, about the seed. And one of the things that Wolf Bay was saying is that the seed, the shell of a planetary seed, is made of shungite. What's your comments?
I'm not so sure if it's the core. I'm assuming she means like they believe that there is a crystal in the middle of the earth.
Well, as above, so below. So a seed, like the seed for a tree, has got a hard outer shell to protect it, and then it's got a soft kernel that has its own internal structure, like the brain and all that stuff, and the planet grows from something like that, you know, as above, so below.
That could possibly be, and it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't one huge fullerene, But I think that the shungite that we're dealing with was something that was put there that carried the seed of life to begin with. That the chemistry that was needed to create life on Earth came through the shungite. I mean, from the first time I heard about that field, that's what I got. That, you know, and probably the consciousness, the creator god Gaia, said, you know, I think I need something to build with. And, you know, whoever's in charge of getting the stuff, you know, the logistics officer said, okay, we're sending it to you. And they send this big hunk of shungite that lands on the planet. And then the energy within it would carry the energetic blueprint for the chemistry that would need to be, that would then result in life. That's the way I see it. Now what it's doing is that it's taking in the new radiation, the new programming from the center, and every time we go through this, the precision of the precession of the equinox, every time we get to this area, there is a massive change. The Great Link, right here, you know, we go through here, and there's massive changing that is because of the energy changes. So I think that shungite is absorbing all these energy changes and giving us basically a new life system.
I think one of the things that shungite does, and what it seems to do with everything, is like I was talking about the dirty electricity, and yeah, it's just like being able to remove the scratches from a record, from an old record, and what it does, it's essentially aids in transitions. Because a transient, what you call a transient electricity, is a very sharp spike that starts at zero and then instantaneously goes up to the maximum. That's what they call a transient spike. And It happens when, you know, you changing over, you know, you're making one switch from one place to another. Often there's, you know, there's energy that is building up in the wires and there's a capacitance of the cable. Anyway, long story as to why that happens, but you get a big spike. And this is what we're going through. We're going through a big spike of changeover. And I think the Shungite, it kind of mitigates the sharpness of the changeover. It allows things to kind of, well, it literally is called a smoothing. You know, it makes a rough wave smooth. And that's what I mean by harmonize, to make things sound more harmonic. It takes away the harshness of things. What do you think?
Well, I suspect that it, if we go back to the quantum world and we're looking at the quantum world, one of the things that they don't want you to know, that everybody who's ever studied quantum physics knows, is that what they discovered was that every time they could devise an experiment at the quantum level, they realized after a bit that the very fact that they were in the equation, that their minds were changing the experiment at the quantum level. So, I mean, this is a fact of quantum, that your mind is so powerful that at the quantum level, they can't even conduct experiments with human beings there because the human being mind is going to skew the experiment. This is a fact of science that is kept from people, people are kept from really understanding. So when you are seeing it from that standpoint and you're dealing with something that is called shungite that has fullerenes that are little quantum universes that will allow you to access 90% of the universal power versus the only 10% that you can do, when you're at that level, we don't know what it's going to become. Because every time we deal with it, we change it, we make it more powerful. We are affecting the shungite. And whereas people say to me, well, is it going to work if I don't believe in it? Yeah, oh, it's going to work whether you believe in it or not. But if you believe in it, you will begin to empower the shungite with even more capabilities.
Amazing. So we've got about 15 minutes left. See if I can find any questions in the chat room to... I mean, it's been brilliant today.
Well, can you give the phone number? Maybe somebody wants to.
Yeah, of course. If you're in Britain, you can call in on 0141 359 4141. And see, it's brilliant. These numbers, I've found some really good numbers, and you can remember them. I can remember them at least.
Yes.
And the other one is in America, it says 775. 773-3431. That's 775-773-3431. And yes, I will make some jingles. I've got to make lots of jingles. I've been doing a lot of, I mean, people think, you know, what's he doing? You know, I'm doing a lot of stuff in the background. We're working on preparing and cleaning up the mailing list. We sent out mailing lists yesterday. We're preparing new production facilities, being able to get Colleen Kelly to do her production side of things, and we've got her going, and she had her first full day because I basically had to take a day out, so because my friend got married and we had a good time. In fact, we're still having a good time. It's like I still haven't quite finished partying. Probably finish partying next week. Well, it's a proper wedding. And, you know, just going away from the wedding was enough of a part, you know, it was a party in itself. And the reason that I woke up wearing a bow tie still. Anyway, we've had some good energies this weekend. Where was I going with that? Oh, that's completely gone now.
Yeah.
So what I've been doing in the background. So, you know, it took a lot of effort to get everything going and get it to the point when I could step away and finally, you know, step outside of my house, because I've been in my house for the last month, whole month since Dave died, getting everything together. There's a lot of things that have to happen. There's a lot of questions that people had. I had to field a lot of questions. There's been many offers of help at various levels. And, you know, although it's wonderful, I have to still have to find, I need you to do that. You know, people need to, I need to speak to them and see what they can do. But offers are still coming in, and it's wonderful. And we're building up a team. And we're kind of building up several teams, really, that will all kind of work together in harmony. That's the idea, anyway. And we'll be producing more shows. We'll be producing newsletters. We'll have two levels of email newsletter. We'll have a daily, for those who like the daily contact, which is a good, it's a kind of dead man's handle. If the station blows up, you'll know that to look. There's also a weekly, so we'll have a weekly summary, perhaps with a little, maybe with an interview or a little bit more detail for the weekly summaries. It's all building up. We don't really know how it's going to be just now, but all the indicators tell us that it's a good time to start new things. It's a good time to build and to grow, to make organic things. We're sorting out getting all of our technical side and also our social, personal side working together, so we can work as a team and have fun and do good fun. This has got to be fun. It's got to be fun, as Nancy keeps saying. It's got to be fun. We're working on it. We're doing a lot of work in the background. So I'd really like to thank Colleen Kelly and Beatrixie mainly for their help in that. I'd like to thank Michelle Caruso who else has been involved in this? In Tramjar, yeah, Michelle Bunding Love,
Trixie,
yes, mentioned Trixie, and Colleen Brighteyes and Mary Bemis, and I think that's how you pronounce it, Bemis. I say Bemis, I think. And everybody who I've forgotten, and of course Wolf Baby for being my girlfriend and supporting me through all these things sometimes. So, yeah, and indeed we'll be seeing a little more of some of these people. One of the people that I was with at the wedding is going to be one of our future producers, and I was also able to check out what sort of state of production he's in, and he's got a lot of hardware to fix up before he can get online, so we won't get him in so quickly, but I've had some other offers, so it's all good. Thank you very much, everybody, for participating in this, and for helping us make this a going concern. I believe that now we're in a position for it to be a going concern. I feel that I've gone down into the minus field, and then I'm back up to the zero point. It feels today that we're at a zero point, a point where we're then coming up over, and then we're starting into a new phase, which is like a takeoff. It's going to grow and grow and grow. So, and in that part, Nancy has volunteered to be my assistant producer and do things like remind me of the name of the show that is going to be, and maybe takes notes and things like that. So this all takes work, focus and concentration, so we have to make it fun because we ain't got any money. And indeed, while we're talking about money, your donations are very happily accepted. Your subscriptions are delightfully accepted. If you want to give us $100 in one go, we'll give you 2 years archive access straight there. But otherwise, it's $5 a month. That'll be $120 a year. $60 a year. $120 for 2 years. So, yeah. So, 2 years, you get 2 free months. So, Nancy, what's...
Well, would they, the archives, I don't have much time to listen to live radio, but when I started getting to Jay's archives, never mind the other people's archives, you can get lost in the archives. There's just so much information in there about different people that you might follow, that you'll see them. I mean, there's just so much. It's worth the money, but plus you're supporting the station. We all feel the same way, that donation is simply a commitment, and when you commit, it's energy. So $50 here is a commitment to the same thing that we're trying to do, which is to build a radio station network, because there's different radio shows set that are operating kind of independently and come together. So it's more of a network. And this network of people and of just personalities who are trying to get out the same message, we're trying to move it into a solution-based environment. So as much support you can give us, because we're trying to build something that where it's not just, to be honest, bitching, there's a problem. It's trying to find the answers and giving solution-based. And when you get into those archives, you're going to feel better, because there's an awful lot of solutions that have already been presented on shows that go back many, many, how many decades does Dave to Dave really put up there, So, yes, please, commit to us. Just send us that little bit. I know for some people it's a lot. But, $5 a month just to open up the door one time to see if it's something you're interested in, we'd be most appreciative. And I think you will too, because like I say, I was kind of stunned by the amount of information that's there. Very good information.
It is. And it's really interesting you were saying before about Dolores. I think it was almost like your guides were kind of putting her behind a blind, so that you didn't see her, so that she wouldn't influence your work. And then that's why you only discovered her after you'd written your book, so you couldn't be, accused of being derivative. But her stuff comes from her querying the field through her clients. But this is something that we've been doing ourselves, really, haven't we? We query the field through our own selves.
Oh, we're all getting the same messages, because it's all coming from the same source. It's just sort of like there's different roads going to the Magic Kingdom. There's different ways of getting there. But one of the things that is so stunning to me is that because I've had to pay more attention to what you're doing and other people are doing, I'm actually seeing the same message being presented continually over and over again, but from a different perspective. But it's basically the same message. And when you see that kind of messaging where everything is coming together, you just got to feel like we're in this together. We're going to be all right. Don't panic. Don't get fearful. That's where you lose your power. You feel a little jittery. Just come over. Listen to Wolf Spirit. And, we'll try to build you back up so that you understand that, you're the person that everybody needs, because each and every one of us fits that category. Get balanced. Get positive, change your reality, show them how it's done, and all the people that are looking at you thinking you might be crazy because you're saying, I like this piece of black stuff I'm wearing on my chest, sooner or later they're going to start resonating to you, because you are going to be the resonation, the energy field that makes them take the next step in enlightenment. But it all has to start with each and every one of us. Indeed. I don't like to get preachy, but I do it often, don't I?
you did go off on one there. Anyway, listen, we're at the top of the show. Thank you so much, Nancy. We'll see what happened to Andrew Aloha. When we say aloha to him, where have your aloha been?
Okay, so, but Jay, just remember, everybody, we're going to do this again tomorrow at 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, p.m. We're going to have Walt back on. We're going to do some more magical whatever we do. So next tomorrow, Wolf Spirit Radio and Revolution, it's going to be Walt again and JP and myself. So please join us. And we'll try to get the archives of the show today so that you can listen to it beforehand. It'll give you a real boost up.
Oh, yeah, I'll try and get a hold of that. Mind you, I'm appearing on various people's programs tomorrow. It's quite interesting.
Give me the link so I can promote it.
Sure, I will. It's Ireland. I'm going to be in an... it's an Irish FM station in Dublin, so it's quite interesting. And they're just starting out going on the net. So, anyway, so tonight this has been Ever Beyond, and let me just get that little thing and Ever Beyond outro, get that there. Let's start that. Thank you very much, Nancy. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.